How are you all this morning? I want to say thank you as well as Joe for sending me and then allowing my wife to go as a messenger as well to the Southern Baptist Convention. It was an interesting experience. I've never been to one of those before, and at first I was a little surprised and thought, what in the world is going on here and what have I become a part of? A friend of Joe's described it this way, and it was very well. It's like a family reunion. There's family that you're really excited to see, and there's family you're really proud of and you learn a lot from, and then there's family that you're not sure who they are or where they came from. And so it's one of those kind of real big extended family reunions, and it was great. It was exciting. I left excited to be a Southern Baptist and to know that we are committed to moving forward with a vision that we will present the gospel to every person on this earth. That's the vision. How could you have a greater vision for a group of churches? We are just going to share the gospel, not just here. We're not going to just push it forward. We are going to get the gospel to every single person on this planet. That's exciting to be a part of something like that, and a group of people who are bold enough to state that's where we are headed. Today, we're going to finish up our series on the kingdom, so go ahead and open your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to go through about half of Matthew chapter 7 today, so I just want to do a little review. We missed a weekend there just because of the flood and the craziness of Mother's Day and all the different schedule changes that hit. We had to kind of split up the series here. So what's happened is we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and it is all about Christ and His kingdom. He preached it as the reigning king. God Himself came to earth who said, here is how my kingdom works. The first week He talked about the kingdom ethics. How are we to live in Christ's kingdom? The second week He talked about the kingdom heart and what is to be going on inside. It's not just a matter of following a set of rules. The kingdom ethics, the way we live, is not just a list that we check through. Yep, follow that one, didn't do that. That's not the way we live. We live with a heart toward Christ. And that leads us right to where we are today. Kingdom citizenship. Kingdom citizenship. Christ speaks at the close of this, not just about how to live as a kingdom follower, not just your heart, but how do you get in? How do you get in? And again, we've kind of played through this series with, as your bulletin cover, Dan Newsom did this just fabulously, playing off the British series, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And in this, a man named Arthur Dent, who's just a common Joe, standing around one day trying to keep his house from being demolished to put in a bypass, is literally laying in front of a bulldozer trying to keep this happen. And his friend of many years, who's just a little odd, comes up to him and says, it is time. We must talk right now. Right now. And he said, but can't you see I'm a little busy? No, we must talk right now. You have 15 minutes to talk to me. And suddenly, they as they walk off and begin to talk, he starts talking about the end of the world and how things are about to change. And in an instant, they are whisked up into a spaceship that happens to be making a bypass, and the Earth has to kind of be moved out of the way and demolished. And so it's just this goofy series, and he's now a hitchhiker on this ship that is not friendly. It's full of these green, ugly creatures who are very grumpy and love to write terrible poetry and read it to you till you die. So he is on this ship being read terrible poetry till he's going to die, and his friend says, aren't you glad you're safe now? And Arthur Dent has this reply. This is obviously some use, and you got to picture this in a British accent. I won't even try it, but you've got to get the British accent. This is obviously some use of the word safe with which I'm not familiar. He's on a ship being tortured to death, and he's safe. But what was he safe from? Death and destruction. Sometimes on this Christian journey and the citizenship of the kingdom, if you remember the kingdom ethic, it's an ethic in which you get stomped on by the world. It's an ethic in which you don't fit. If you remember the kingdom heart is for Christ's kingdom, not your own. You sacrifice all. You lose all. for the kingdom. And I don't know about you, but that is not my definition of gain. But Christ says it is ultimate, ultimate gain. And the kingdom citizenship, this last part of the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew 7:7, goes into why it is so, so significant that you become a citizen of the kingdom. So read with me, Matthew 7:7. We'll go through the rest of the chapter here shortly, but we're going to pray first. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Let's pray. Our Father, we come, Lord, there's so many things going today in our hearts and minds. Father, we think of the land of which our church takes possession tomorrow. What an exciting day. Well, we thank you and praise you for it. But God, do not let it get in the way of our kingdom. Our kingdom get in the way of your kingdom. Father, we pray for our fathers, and I thank you for my dad and my grandfathers and the godly influence they have been. Lord, we just say thank you for them. And God, I just ask, though, that this morning our dads would not do anything but point us to you, the Heavenly Father, the true Father, the perfect Father. And God, as we think of those who are so sick right now, we pray for William Prim, Lord, for China, both in the hospital, still struggling to recover. Lord, we pray for the Gills and Heidi and Taylor as they're released today, and continued recovery for Heidi and health for Taylor. But Lord, may we not let these temporary things, a sickness, get in the way of the ultimate, the most valuable things. Lord, may you, as you commanded us to, seek first your kingdom. Lord, remember, you'll add all these others. God, change our hearts this morning. Turn our eyes and our minds to you. In Jesus, your name. Amen. The kingdom citizenship is not like U.S. citizenship. As I told you earlier, and I haven't ever told the whole story, I decided to marry my wife. I gave her a ring. I thought that was the hard part. I got the woman to actually agree to it. I'd afforded the ring. What could be difficult from here on out? Well, let me tell you, our government has some lovely little things called immigration laws. My wife is a Romanian, and we decided we wanted to get married. And, of course, where do you have the wedding? Where the bride's family is, right? Which happens to be Romania. The only trick to that is the United States government says that if you get married outside the United States, one spouse is not a citizen, you then have to go to the consular, and they get to decide whether your spouse comes back to the United States with you. It's on their whim. You don't know beforehand. You just get married and show up and say, please, and find out. Well, that didn't sound like a very good option because of being separated your first 1 to 2 years of marriage. So we decided we'd just have the wedding here and fly her family in. After about $3,000 of requests for visas and plane tickets and all that, we got two of her family members here. It's this amazing process because, you know what, the government just decides who they want to let come in, who they don't, and they have no rules for it. They just decide. And then you get to go through the process of immigration. It took us about 12 months for her to get a driver's license. She's still not a citizen. She's still a permanent resident. She still has to renew her driver's license on a yearly basis, and you usually have to go to 2 to 3 places that will actually know how to do the paperwork to get someone who's not a citizen a driver's license. Citizenship in the United States is extremely difficult to come by. And if you were born with it, you are a very, very blessed individual. And then look what Jesus says. Citizenship in the kingdom? Ask. And it will be given to you. Did you catch that? This is Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom. Ask. Ask. And it will be given to you. Knock. Seek. And you will find. It's every woman's dream, you know, for their husbands. They actually look for something and find it. Jesus just says, look. Look for me. I can be found. Knock on the door. It's going to open. Keep reading with me. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be open. Of which one of you, if his son asked him for bread, will give him a stone? Now, think of that. When your kids ask for food, is it a difficult decision? That's how Christ says he treats you. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. By the way, if there's any question, how does God see us? He says it right there. You good dads, you're evil in my eyes. How to give good gifts to your children? How much more? Isn't that a great phrase? It's used several times in the Bible. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Paul says this another way as he's reflecting back on the words of Christ. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived the things that Christ has in store for you. But the Spirit of God, He gives it away. What a beautiful thought. Ask, and you'll receive. What is citizenship in the kingdom? By the way, did you notice he didn't give you a series of rules to follow? He didn't say, live like this, don't live like this, marry this person, do this, you know, make sure you shave your head, become a monk, and then you will get citizenship in the kingdom. Ask. Come like a son to a father. What a great passage for Father's Day. Come like a son to the ultimate Father, I'm scared to death about being a dad. Most of you know I have a baby coming. Poor Russell. You know, I just got to wonder what's going through that guy's head. I haven't been there. I guess I'll know in October. But can you imagine how the guy's head is spinning this morning? Okay, he was having panic attacks this morning and brought up and had Joe Stegall strap his car seat in because he didn't want to goof it up. Now, that's probably a good thing knowing how mechanically inclined Russell is. But can you imagine the concern of a daddy who's holding that son for the first time? Can you? I can't even conceive of what it's going to feel like to hold my daughter in October and say Emma Grace and have her look at me or cry or spit at me or whatever she's going to do. I can't imagine that feeling, and I can't wait. I don't know that there's a dad here. You may be a lousy dad. You may be a great dad. But I don't know that there's a dad here who doesn't want and everything in him to take care of his kids. Whether you do or not, I don't know. But I can't imagine even just seeing my wife's womb and touching and Tuesday morning for the first time again to feel that little baby kick. I'd do anything for that baby. I haven't even seen her face. When we come to the Father, to Jesus Christ, the King of the kingdom, He says, come as my kids. What is citizenship in the kingdom? It's coming. Daddy, Daddy, I need it. I can't do it. I need it from you. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why we make such a big deal about something so gruesome as a cross, as an execution of Jesus Christ. He paid for my sins and for your sins. Christ said, or God the Father in the Old Testament says, He took the iniquities, the sins, the wrong things, the absolute transgressions against God's law. He took the iniquities of us all and laid it upon Him. And Christ paid hell for you and me on that cross. He paid hell for you and me. And so He says, ask, come, I have done the work. I have kept the rules. Not you. I have kept the rules. It's done. Is there a kingdom ethic? Absolutely. Are you to live a certain way as my children? Yes, but that's not how you become my children. That first point in your bulletin there, citizenship comes by asking. It's as simple as that. Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. But this sounds so simple. And if it was truly this simple, why would this gymnasium not be full on the floor, full in the bleachers, and we be over in the elementary school too? There's something to this that I don't understand. For the life of me, I cannot imagine why I did not accept Christ earlier. Can you? Think back to it. Was your life that great beforehand? I miss nothing of being lost. But I know from the time I heard the call of the gospel to when I responded was almost 5 years. What was I thinking? How many of you have known a friend, maybe even a family member, who has held out? Yes, they know the gospel. They know Jesus Christ died for their sins. Yes, they know it's true. And they've just held out and held out and held out. Why do men and women get on television and spout off the benefits and glories of some other system? Look with me in verse number 12. We're going to read 12 through 23 and come back and look at this a little bit. The truth is, it's difficult to get in the kingdom. I know that doesn't quite make sense yet, but just follow with me for just a little bit. Verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate's wide, the way is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter by it. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They will reveal them, you will recognize them by their fruits. They are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but diseased trees bear bad fruit. Verse 18, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's hard to get in the kingdom. There's some problems with getting into the kingdom. There's four of them. The reason people don't ask, say, God, take me to your kingdom. I fall on the blood of Christ. I plead Christ, not my own works. Why don't people? First, you must act the opposite of normal. What do we do as normal people? Who's number one? I mean, let's be honest. What are all of us after? What we need. Right? What is a baby? What's the first thing they do? They cry. What do they cry for? Everything. They cry because they're sleepy. They cry because they're hungry. They cry because they're uncomfortable. They cry because they want to cry. They're selfish. You love them like crazy. They're the sweetest things in the world, and they're cute. How they can be selfish and cute, I don't know. You know, when all you guys act selfish, it's not very cute anymore. I don't know what it is. I never do it. But is there something in us that turns to ourselves? And what does Christ say? The way you want to be treated, that's really important, because you know what you should do? Treat other people that way. Just do the opposite of everything you think. If you think, boy, I'd really like this, give it to somebody else. If you think, boy, I really want to do this, arrange for somebody else. You know, we kind of corrupted this. We call it the golden rule. And we twist this a little bit. Do unto others so they would do back, right? There's no mention of that here. Listen to this. So whatever you wish others to do to you, do to them. It's not a way of getting what you want. A lot of people corrupt Christ's words and just say, he's just a good teacher. He teaches you how to get your needs. You treat others, you worry about other needs and let them worry about you. No, there's nothing about your needs in here. It's all about the others. That smacks in the face of everything that is American, of everything that is just red-blooded male, of everything that's human. Why do people not enter the kingdom? Because it's hard to get in. You have to abandon yourself. But not only that, in verse 13, listen to this. It's difficult because there's only one way. We hear many teachers out there saying there's many ways to heaven. They're all roads up a mountain, or there are many ways to heaven, or all religions are basically the same. We all worship the same God, and that is a lie from the pits of hell. Listen to the very words of Christ. You say he's a good teacher, but listen to him. Enter by the narrow gate. In other words, suck it in. You're going to have to squeeze through. It's not easy. For the gate is wide, the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. The truth is, there are many roads to hell. There's only one to heaven. And it's Jesus Christ himself. For the gate is narrow, the way is hard, that leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are few messages in the Bible that are as difficult to preach as this one. I don't say this to you out of arrogance. I say this as pleading from the words of Christ. He says there is one way. The good teacher says there is only one way, and not many people pay attention to it. There is only one way. Why is it difficult to get into heaven? Because you have to go against everything in you. Because there is only one way. But in chapter 7, verse 15, there are lots of people out there. There are liars and deceivers. And they would take you to hell with them. Most of them are nice folks. We think of liars and deceivers as the bad people with, you know, little horns poking out of their head. They're nice and red. And it's obvious. But the truth is, they're nice. They're friendly. They're kind. They may do a lot of good things. But listen to what Christ said. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look cuddly and fluffy, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by the fruits. By the way, when Christ said, just the chapter before, don't judge, he doesn't mean be a fool. He means don't condemn others to hell. Worry about your own soul. He says, look out there. Listen to who you're listening to. Think of who you're listening to. Peter, when he reflects on this, back on Christ's words at the end, toward the end of his life, shortly before he was crucified, he said, let all prophets, all teachers, be judged by the prophets. In other words, the Scriptures. He says, don't listen to everybody. Test the spirits. The Apostle John said, test the spirits. Because many of them are liars and deceivers. Christ said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Watch them. Not just once. Watch them for a time. Are grapes gathered for thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Do you ever want to know how to choose a church? If you're in that process right now, go to a church that teaches the Word. Don't go for the shiny guy who's a lot more eloquent than I, or Tom, or Joe. There's lots better preachers than we are. They're all over the place. But you know what? If a preacher doesn't preach the Word of God, and the Word of God only, he's a false prophet. And if he doesn't preach the whole Word of God, if he picks a verse here and there and you feel really good and smile afterwards but have not heard God say, you are a sinner, my son is a savior, you've missed it. Don't go to that church, run away. Because listen to what he says. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And if Tom, Joe, and I ever cease to preach the Word, run away. What you hear will shape how you live. Only listen to the truth. Only listen to the truth. And the truth is in God's Word itself. Why is it difficult to get in? You must act opposite of normally. There is only one way. There are deceivers and liars out there. And the fourth thing, and the most scary for us, because most of you all know that. Those first three, that's the easy part. Here's where it hits home. Look with me in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know of a soul here that wouldn't say, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now this sounds like Jesus is setting up a list of rules, right? You got to do the will of the Father, but listen for what the will of the Father is. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Do something. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Do big spiritual things. Be a teacher. And do mighty works in your name? They say, no, we did the list. We did the list. We did the top of the list. I mean, we all know there's, you know, you got to give out your change. That's really good. And then, you know, you write the check. You write the full tithe. That's really, really good. But then, you know, you become a missionary, and my goodness, that's a free ticket to heaven right there. We all know the list goes up. These guys were at the top of the list. They were casting out demons. They were the preachers. That's what prophesying means. They were doing the mighty works. And Jesus says, listen. And then I will declare to them, not say to them, I will declare, will shout it to them, I never knew you. If you have a pen, underline those words. I never knew you. It's not about a list. It's not about mighty works. It's not about being the guy teaching the Sunday school class, the deacon, the preacher, the missionary. That is meaningless except you know Jesus Christ. What is citizenship in the kingdom? Ask and you will receive. Why is it so difficult to get in the kingdom? You must act the opposite of normal. There's only one way. There are liars and deceivers out there, and some of you are deceived. I will never forget being in seminary. It never failed. I was there 4 years. I remember all four of those years, there was a guy studying to be a preacher get saved. I will never forget in Texas where I was serving, one of our deacons coming forward one Sunday morning and saying, I've never trusted Christ. And getting to pray with this man and then later baptize him. I will never forget a sweet, sweet lady. She was my biggest fan. I don't know what I'd put over her eyes, but she just loved me. She was about 70, had no grandkids in the church. I don't know what she liked about me. This lady was the most encouraging woman I've ever met. I'd known her for 4 years. I'd seen her do all these things. She served in the kitchen every Wednesday night. She was there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I mean, if you could do it at the church, she did it. She was in the choir. After I'd known her 4 years, she was around 70. Middle of the week, got a call. She says, "I'm not saved." And I'm not saying these things to put shadow on your salvation. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you have said, "Lord, save me," and trusted Him, trusted His death on the cross, not yourself, but Him, you are saved. You are a citizen of the kingdom. But let me tell you, some of you just haven't done that. You've been a good person for a long time, or at least so you think. But remember what Jesus said? We're evil. Even good dads are evil. We need the salvation of Christ. And I beg of you, many of you who are probably looked at as some of the best people here, it may be because you're following a bunch of rules and you've never trusted Jesus Christ and you're desperate to follow those rules because you want to know Him, but you're never going to get there. Citizenship in the kingdom comes by asking. Finally, and this will be quick, response to Jesus and His Word determines eternity. That's the last point. Response to Jesus and His Word determines eternity. Read with me. Try not to hum when you're doing it, the little kid song. "Everyone who hears these words of mine will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall." It had been founded on the rock. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rains fall, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it." Being down in Florida, I was reminded about all the times I've seen on TV these beautiful, extravagant houses built right on the beach, right where, you know, there's like an X on your house for where the hurricane's going to hit. You know it's always going to hit the pretty one, right? Why? And what do? Right after the hurricane, they build it right back. You'd think we'd learn something. Jesus Christ's words determine eternity. The most significant question that is ever going to be asked is, what do you do with Jesus? Do you know Him? Have you followed His Word? That's His Word. Know Him. We just read it. Or will you ignore it? Response to Jesus and His Word determines eternity. Folks, the Savior's life. That's that point under there. If you build your house on the rock, if your life is about Christ, you're on a rock. And that's why suddenly citizenship makes sense. Do the winds still come? Yeah, He didn't promise He'd take away the wind. Do the rain still fall? Oh yeah, He said they would. But the house stands. Your life stands. Rejecting the Savior is destruction. That's the simple message of citizenship in the kingdom. This message has one point. Ask. I mean, truth be told, I mean, there's a lot of blanks on there. Ask. That's it. He says, ask, and it will be given. So as we come to the end, I want to give you three things and then just remind you of a quick story most of you will probably be familiar with. If you're not a citizen of the kingdom, if you have not trusted Christ, do it. Maybe your dad drug you here. He said, I only want one thing. I want you to come to church. Maybe you got drug. Hey, that's okay. Praise God for godly dads. I know I had a dad who took me to church, whether I said yes or no, for years. And I'm grateful for him. There's nothing in the world that'd make your daddy happier than say yes. Maybe you were a dad that was drugged by a kid. I don't know. You got to come to church to get dinner. I don't know what it is. But maybe God's touched your heart. Maybe you're one of those people who's done all the church things that you're supposed to do for years and have never known Christ. Maybe that's you. We've got deacons now, so y'all can walk down. You know, you can get saved now. We've got you voted in, so maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe there's the person who we all look to and respect. But you know, the reason we respect you is because you're such a great, nice person. But there's nothing more. You need to get saved. So the first thing, become part of the kingdom. Second, if you're part of the kingdom, become a better ambassador. Share the news. Share the news. But thirdly, and this is the reason we had that great song, Here Comes the King, all bow down. Celebrate. Your citizenship is in a better kingdom than this one. There's not a greater country in the world than America. But we're citizens of a kingdom, not of this world. That's way better. Way better. He is the King. All bow down. All bow down. And there's cause for celebration. I appreciate Nick. He's always in the back. I wanted to let him come out and let actually everybody see him for once. He's wonderful. He helps us so much. But thank you, Nick. Celebrate. Become a citizen, be an ambassador, and celebrate. There's a great story that was made very popular by a recent movie called The Blind Side. Michael Orr was a homeless teenager, and a friend of theirs helped get him in a private school. He still was living on two or three sets of clothes, just figuring food out, going from friends to friend's house, wherever he could find a place. And he was literally seen on the side of the road by a family, and they picked him up. Like a hitchhiker. Time happens. He becomes part of the family. They end up adopting this man, young man. He ends up gaining great fame as a football player. This man's now a millionaire, highly successful, highly respected. He had nothing. Somebody just picked him up. Changed everything. Instead of a drug dealer on the streets, he's a man taking care of his family very, very well. Michael Orr was a hitchhiker. He wasn't even trying to be. Just like me. And many of you. We were sitting minding our business and God got all up in it. He got up in our business and He picked us up. Praise God. He picks up ragged, ugly folks. John said He called us wretched, poor, naked, and blind. That's not the kind of hitchhiker I'd pick up. Praise God, He does. So here's what we're going to do. Our musicians are going to come up. We're going to sing to this King one more time. We sang to Him with a new song. We're going to sing to Him with an old. Crown Him with many crowns. Crown Him with many crowns. Praise Him. Rejoice in Him. And here's what you can do. If you're a citizen, celebrate. Commit your heart to Him. Repent. But if you're not, I'm going to be standing right down here. Tom is going to be standing right over there. Come just talk to us. If you are too scared to death and you're thinking, I don't want to walk down this aisle, you know, they're going to hand me a snake or something, talk to your neighbor, talk to the person who brought you. Say, I need to know this Jesus. We're going to sing, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Pray with me. Pray for God to work in our church. Help us pick up, but then go stomp on that property a little bit. Pray for God to continue to work, to make this the center of Nolensville. Because people come here to hear this gospel. Father, we love you. Thank you that you are the King. We don't rest our faith in a baby. We don't rest our faith in a dead man, but we rest our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you praise and thanks and honor. You are the King and we all bow down. So now we sing, Crown You with Many Crowns. The Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much for my citizenship. And I pray for those who don't have it yet. Lord, may they receive it today. May they ask. In Jesus, your name. Amen.